Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from South Bend, Indiana. The Studebaker family started their trajectory as a seminal icon of American automobile manufacturers back in 1852, when the Studebaker brothers started a South Bend, Indiana blacksmith shop. In 1902, the brothers introduced a line of electric vehicles, and Studebaker remained as an iconic and sometimes trend-setting manufacturer until the mid-1960s, when Studebaker's last hurrah was the classic Avante, crafted by legendary industrial designer Raymond Loewy. The Avante, unveiled in 1962, remains as a timeless, treasured, mid-century modern work of manufacturing art. Come along and join Maria Drevet, program manager at the South Bend, Indiana Studebaker National Museum. Maria Drevet?
Drevet, yeah.
There you go. Little French roots there?
I believe so. It's my husband's last name, and they are think it's French, but they also are people that are just like, eh, we don't care. Yeah. We are at the Studebaker Museum here in South Bend, Indiana.
This is the home of Studebaker.
Yes, this is where they're from.
Going back to wagon days, right?
Going back to wagon days, the company, depending on how you declare its founding, started here in 1852.
And they were cutting edge, early developers of the automobile, right?
They were definitely one that saw that's where the future was going. Mm-hmm. So they decided to, you know, start investing in that carriage era, even as they were building wagons at the same time. At one point in their history, they were building gas cars, electric cars, and wagons all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Just to cover all your bases.
So they had electric cars, kind of like the Baker.
Yes, early electrics.
Like 1912?
1912, 1907, kind of all those early eras, early 1900s.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So here we're at the museum,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
you have an array of everything we talked about and more.
Yes, we start with the Studebaker's Conestoga they took here to South Bend up through the last car produced by Studebaker in Canada in 1966.
Oh, wow.
We cover all of that and then, you know, along the way, a smattering of prototypes from Studebaker's history, some other pieces talking about some other parts of local industrial history, but we kind of cover the width and breadth of Studebaker's. Another example of just how much industry was based in South Bend. Studebaker wasn't some like random company in this mm-hmm. town with nobody else. There was Singer sewing machine. Most of their cabinet boxes were made in South Bend at one point. If you wanted something built, chances were there was a company in South Bend building it.
Oh, interesting. How did Studebaker come to be here?
The family had been in Ohio and decided to make the move to South Bend just for economic opportunities. South Bend really was at a crossroads at the point. Traffic coming down from up in Michigan, traffic coming across from Chicago. It was beginning to be kind of the crossroads of America. So mm-hmm. Studebaker was kind of at the center of it. So that's just where they settled. And then the family just really fell in love with the area and really decided to continue investing in the community from the company and from the different civic projects they took on over time.
Their last hurrah, as you alluded to, around mid-60s,
mm-hmm.
that's period of the advent of the Avante.
Yes, the Avante. Studebaker's last designed automobile introduced in 1963, kind of as a last attempt to get some momentum going for the company. Didn't work as well as they would have hoped, only was built for 1963 or in 1964, but today is still kind of a quintessential mid-century modern designed. Whenever they have, there's a city in California, they always do like a mid-century week, and there's always Studebakers parked in front of the mid-century houses because the Avantes just fit perfectly those mid-century yeah. modern houses.
And the designer of the Avante mm-hmm. was probably a foremost product designer, design guy of the 20th century.
So Raymond Loewy and Raymond Loewy and Associates would take on that design process. Depending on who you ask, it's probably one of his guys that designed it, not him. But he knew when to spot talent and made full use of that to get this Avanti designed in a very short time frame.
And as I recall, he designed the modern Coke bottle.
Yes. Once again, it's how much is heresy, how much is he's claimed it, and he was not afraid just to use a little bit of self-promotion. But he has definitely designs like that, some train designs, a pencil sharpener that I know people like, and then, of course, several other Studebakers, including, like, the Starliner design, are attributed to Raymond Loewy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what happened? Why did Studebaker fold?
It's a very complicated question. One could probably point to a myriad of reasons, but at the end of the day, Studebaker was a diversified corporation by the 60s, and all their other parts of the portfolio made money, but cars didn't. So they eased out of the car market. The South Bend plants were closed in December of 1963. The Canadian plant in Hamilton, Ontario was kept open until 66. So they did slowly ease out of that automotive field. But it depends on who you ask. It depends on which factors you're looking at. But at the end of the day, it didn't save them. So
what happened to the Studebaker enterprise post-automobile?
Slowly sold off bits and bobs like corporations. So slowly dissolved away until you can't find any record of any Studebaker corporations.
Are there Studebaker family people still live around here?
A few. After the first generation of Studebaker brothers in the company, there would be a few involved with the company throughout its history, but never quite in like the president capacity.
Right.
So there'd be a few involved, but not as many. Because there was the five boys and five girls, and a lot of them didn't have kids, so there really are less lines of the family than there were in the local area. However, there's lots of Studebakers. If you go to the Ohio area, the Studebaker family has their own museum there. They have a big family reunion every 4 years, I think, and there's several hundred of them that get together every year. So,
but none that live in South Bend?
We know a few, but there's not, you know, what you would think from having five boys. There's not as many people as you'd think. We don't have a, you know, conglomeration of them.
Yeah. Give us a word picture of where we're at and what is here at the museum.
You're just going to see some beautiful craftsmanship from that wagon period up through that automobile period.
And how many vehicles do you have here?
Over 100. Mm-hmm. People always say there's less, but there's definitely over 100. They were not afraid of colors, so cars of every color, all original paint colors, so we don't go off the books, but they believed in color. About over 100 vehicles spread across three floors, anything from a military collection to cars from the 1950s on, usually some sort of special exhibition talking about a particular part of the car world. But if you like a certain kind of automobile from, you know, 1920 through 1966, we probably have a design you'll like.
And back to military, World War II, what did Studebaker manufacture?
They manufactured B-17 bomber engines. They manufactured the Weasel, which is this treaded vehicle. It also came in an amphibious version. And then they made some half-ton trucks, usually under the U.S. 6 designation. Mm-hmm. So those three products were what they built during the war. All civilian production for a lot of companies completely ceased.
All here at South Bend.
Yep, all here in South Bend. So they had a plant south on kind of the south side of town that did a lot of lane engine building. And then the other work was spread across some various other spots. But, yep, all that production here in South Bend during the World War II era.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
To learn more about your world, Maria.
We have a website, studebakermuseum.org. Of course, you can visit us here in South Bend. We're open most days throughout the year. And then, of course, we have social media channels and a slowly but surely growing YouTube video collection, so you can check out some history even if you can't make it in.
And the website, again?
studebakermuseum.org. And my name is Maria Gervet.
Maria, thank you so much.
Of course.
This has been a great morning. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Studebaker Museum in South Bend, Indiana. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle. where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits for another riff? Spangled gowns upon a bevy of high brown from down the levee, all misfits putting on the riff. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening. With